More grandmother stories today. Welcome as we have another look into the life and message of Elizabeth Elliot, who called us to live to a higher standard each day. As our series continues in the coming weeks, we'll hear from family, from friends, from others who were influenced by Elizabeth's life and message. Hey, thanks for taking time to join us again today. Or maybe it's your first time visit. Thanks for coming along. As we think about Grandma Ruby and ideas for grandmothers, Miriam Rockness of the Lilias Trotter Foundation will join us to talk about Elizabeth. Also, those opening lines from the Gateway to Joy program, are those based on the Bible? If so, what are the references? Elizabeth will tell us about that later. Do you have some fond memories, maybe of very early experiences with your grandparents or others who sort of took that role in your life? Well, today we hear about Grandma Ruby and others.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing today with grandmother stories. I had a letter from a grandmother named Charlotte, and she said the big thing we do is to take a special trip, just one boy and I, on the year of their 8th birthday. Such a special memory, opportunity to be together for a week or so and have time to get to know each other. It's a frequent topic of conversation. Now, isn't that a wonderful idea? Charlotte taking one grandson, when he's 8 years old, for a whole week together. I think maybe some of you would want to try that. And then here's a lovely little story called Grandma Ruby. Being a mother of two very active boys, ages 7 and 1, I'm sometimes worried about their making a shambles of my carefully decorated home. In their innocence and play, they occasionally knock over my favorite lamp or upset my well-designed arrangements. In these moments, when nothing feels sacred, I remember the lesson I learned from my wise mother-in-law, Ruby. Ruby is the mother of 6 and grandmother of 13. She is the embodiment of gentleness, patience, and love. One Christmas, all the children and grandchildren were gathered as usual at Ruby's home. Just the month before, Ruby had bought beautiful new white carpeting after living with the same old carpet for 25 years. She was overjoyed with the new look it gave her home. My brother-in-law, Arnie, had just distributed his gifts for all the nieces and nephews, prized homemade honey from his beehives. They were excited. But as fate would have it, 8-year-old Sheena spilled her tub of honey on Grandma's new carpeting and trailed it throughout the entire downstairs of the house. Crying, Sheena ran into the kitchen and into Grandma Ruby's arms. "Grandma, I've spilled my honey all over your brand new carpet." Grandma Ruby knelt down, looked tenderly into Sheena's tearful eyes, and said, "Don't worry, sweetheart. We can get you more honey." Would that have been your response? "Don't worry, sweetheart, we can get you more honey." As though that was what Sheena was crying about. I had asked for letters from my listeners to tell me their grandmother stories, and I got a lovely response, and so I'm going to read you some more of those. This is from someone named Peg Nichols in St. Louis, Missouri. She said, "I went before the Lord and asked for His way. Wouldn't you know, I listened to your tape on a grandmother's influence, and you suggested that we write letters. I had already committed a weekly, now twice weekly, letter to my daughter. Then the idea came, write Cassandra and Alexandria a weekly letter. I believe being a grandparent is our opportunity to a second chance at things we missed with our own, such as in our case, we were Sunday-only Christians. I decided to use my letters for spiritual training. I pray over every letter. I pray even during the week for God to give me the lesson He has and is preparing their little hearts to receive. Each letter is unique. I am an artist, and I use the envelope to witness to the carrier. I illustrate the letters. Most letters are very simple for a 2- and 4-year-old to understand. During June, I used our Vacation Bible School's emphasis on faith. I so look forward to writing these little letters. It has helped to know I'm planting seeds for a future harvest. I want to say amen to that letter. I've had a number of grandmothers ask me, well, what can I do for my grandchildren besides pray for them? Or if you live nearby, have them over for meals and that sort of thing. But there's really nothing that replaces a letter. It's something that you can save. And I saved the very few letters that I ever received from one of my grandmothers. I don't think I ever received any letters from the other one. And here's another one from Carol Lee. I don't know if it's pronounced Reich or Reich, in Halifax, Pennsylvania. She wrote, on one of my many sleepless, prayerful nights, the Lord spoke to my heart as I prayed for each of my 5 grandchildren. He impressed upon me the great responsibility of being a grandparent. I cried out to him, Lord, what would you have me to do? He answered, in your quest to write for me, you have missed the greatest opportunity, your grandchildren. One thought led to another, as the Lord and I communed that night. I woke next morning and created Nana's newsletter. I gathered coloring papers, jokes, riddles, and wrote a personal letter explaining that this newsletter would arrive every month. I inserted scripture for them to memorize and told them to write to me and tell me all about themselves. I included a self-addressed stamped postcard. They are small and would not have to bother their parents to help them with the mailing. That's a good idea, isn't it? Think about that one, you grandparents. Just a self-addressed postcard. You may get a response when you would never get a response otherwise, because it does make it very easy for a child to answer. And I must confess that there are times when I write letters to my grandchildren and I do enclose a self-addressed postcard. And you know you can get them at the post office. You don't have to buy the fancy ones with the pictures and then put a stamp on them. Just go to the post office. They cost, at this particular recording, 19 cents. One never knows when they're going to go up again. And Carol Lee goes on to say, I bought a greeting card CD-ROM for the computer, and with it, I can do all sorts of creative, personalized, fun things. For those of you that are computer whizzes, there's a suggestion. That's way over my head. Yes, I do have a computer, but I haven't the foggiest idea what a CD-ROM is. She goes on to say, my grandchildren's ages range from 3 to 10. I individualize each package I send them according to age and interests. I must tell you, they responded as if I had given them $1 million. Cody lives in Denver, Colorado. He was so excited to be in touch with his cousins' lives. Now he is no longer a stranger to them when he comes home for a visit. The rest of the kids know all about him, and he knows all about them. I always request information about what is happening in each one of their lives. The neat thing is, they respond. Nana's newsletter has not only been a connection for the children, but has been a tremendous blessing for Nana and Grandpa. Now I want to read about a grandmother from 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Here Paul is telling us that the faith which he has found in this young man, Timothy, who became one of his sons in the Lord, had begun through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And there is no mention of his father here, so it may be that his father did not have the spiritual riches that the grandmother and the mother could share with that boy. But Paul sees certain qualities in this young man, which he is assuming and feels quite sure came from the grandmother and the mother. And so he tells him to fan into flame the gift of God. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. I love that verse. I am prone to be fearful from time to time. And I realize that if I feel timid about something, the spirit of timidity did not come from God. God gives us instead a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So Paul says to this young man, "Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace." And so I want to challenge you, grandparents. What sort of a message do your grandchildren get just by the way you live, and by your love for them, by the way you treat them when you visit their home or they visit your home? It is a solemn responsibility before God that we have as old folks. If God has given us children and grandchildren, God is going to hold us responsible for praying for them, for demonstrating to them what the life of Jesus is all about.
Part 3 of Grandmother Stories, Grandmother Ruby and Others. Well, later on we'll hear about Elizabeth and those opening lines that she typically used in her broadcast. What's the reference? There are actually two references for those. First, though, we hear from Miriam Rockness of the Lilias Trotter Legacy Foundation. Miriam talks about what comes to mind when she hears the name Elizabeth Elliot.
One word, truth. Through the years, especially during a period of time when I was she became in print what I wanted in person, which is a mentor. I could always just turn to her and see what she said on a subject. And it gave me guidance or direction or reinforced something. And I was reading a lot of books, a lot of good books, but I would always feel like, okay, if I wanted to add another word to that, I would even say the hard truth. I felt I could look to her and there was somebody who was an anchor, who held strong no matter what was going on in the culture, no matter how unpopular it may have made her in a given time with a given people. But I always felt that what she wrote believing that this is what the Bible taught.
Miriam Rockness of the Lilias Trotter Legacy Foundation. Check out their ministry at liliastrotter.com. Well, let's get to part 4 of our 5-part series on grandmother stories. Maybe you are a grandmother, or look forward someday to that time in life, either as a grandparent or as sort of an honorary grandparent. Well, let's consider some ideas for grandmothers.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today about grandmothers. I've had some wonderful letters from grandmothers because I requested them, and so many of you responded that I had a very hard time weeding out the few that I would have time to read on the air. But here's one from Ann Cox. She says, I've just finished watching your tape on grandmothers. It was excellent and exactly how I see our role. One said to me one day, this is my time and I've done my stint and they belong to them and let them take care of them. I thought and then said, what a privilege you miss. The influence of a godly grandmother. What a ministry. I'm so glad I'm young enough to pray for them, have fun with them, and teach them godly principles. My heart skips a beat when I think of the fun I have had when I hear them coming up the driveway, running up the walk and calling, Nanny, Nanny, while I hide and then pop out at them. Then to pray with them as I tuck them in for the night, and then to have them sneak into my bed in the early morning, snuggle under the goose down, and quietly wait till I have finished my devotions. We're making memories. Why we even dig sled runs over our hill and make jumps off the end of the slope. I admit I'm looking for the Motrin, but I wouldn't miss it till I have to. It's easy to write about grandchildren, but what I intended to say was keep saying the things that you say. And I wish you wouldn't read the negative things people say. I know you're trying to give a full account of others' opinions, but my, have they missed the point. I think what you say is right on. I get accused of not having the gift of mercy, too. And maybe I don't, but God's word is so clear on principles and right living. So much of life is spent dealing with consequences of wrong choices. But the marvelous things that we learn, if we listen and learn. How are saints made? Not in houses of warmth and comfort and upon beds of ease and pleasure, but when pained, pressed down, and crying upon our knees. Then and then only does he extract the essence of our pain and use it for his glory. It takes a thorn to pin aside the veil that hides his face. Nothing is wasted. Never give in or give up. I'm glad you strive to be a woman of honor, a standard bearer, as I tell my granddaughters. Hold the banner high. Thank you. As I watched your tape, I suspect it was filmed there around Magnolia. We were just there a few weeks ago, all along the coast, drove down Hesperus Road and viewed the castle. It's so beautiful there. We always take the coastal route from Boston to Bar Harbor, stopping to look and lunch and browse. It's glorious, and such a time for husband and wife, I feel young again. And I'm so grateful for the years that we have had and am thankful for every day. Well, Ann Cox, next time you come through Magnolia, at least give me a phone call. Now here's one from Kathy Fry, or Frey, I don't know how she pronounces it. Dear Elizabeth, I listened to Gateway to Joy this evening, a part of your series on grandmothers. When you asked the listeners to write and share ways that our grandmothers have influenced our lives, I thought I would jump on the chance to talk about my grandmas. Grandma Fry passed away 6 years ago this month, but some days it seems like yesterday because the memories are so vivid. I remember her rocking me and reading book after book after book to me and my brothers and sisters. When I was young, Saturday night was bath night. It was in my life, too. In the summertime, we would take our pillows out on the porch after we had taken our baths. I would spread my long, wet hair over the pillow to let it dry. We would look up at the stars, read, and fall asleep right there. I remember her long nails clicking on the table as she kneaded bread. I remember laughing with her until my sides ached. I remember how she so patiently taught me how to crochet, sew, and quilt. Grandma taught me about respect. I don't remember one lesson on the topic, but it was something that was taught through her life. I grieve as I think of all my generation is missing out on by not being able to spend extended time with their grandparents, whether because of broken families, distance, or whatever. What a privilege and honor it was for me to spend the first 19 years of my life with Grandma. Now for my mom's mom. Grandma Splitter is my only living grandparent now. Grandpa just passed away in March, and I feel like our hearts have become even more closely knit since then. Grandma is my most faithful letter writer, no matter where I am. There's a long spiritual heritage on this side of my family. I can't think of one single person who has influenced my life more than my Grandma Splitter, both directly through interacting with me and indirectly through the lives of my grandma, my parents, and numerous aunts, uncles, and cousins. I remember spending nights with Grandma and Grandpa, and during their evening devotionals, they would pray through their entire family. That's not so much until you know that they have, are you ready for this? 7 children, 25 grandchildren, and 50 great-grandchildren. Well, you count that up. 75 plus 7. That's a long prayer list. She says, I know firsthand that my grandma continues to do this, and this is coveted by me because I am in full-time ministry and know that much of the fruit is a result of her praying. I can't imagine what my life will be like without grandparents, but I'm praying that if the Lord chooses to bless me with a family someday, I will be able to instill in them the values and the faith that have been instilled in me through my grandparents. A letter from Mildred Scott in Missouri. Dear Elizabeth, in response to your request for grandmothers to tell you what they do for their grandchildren, I'm writing this letter. The following is a list of things I have done or am doing for my 12-year-old granddaughter and my 14-year-old grandson. Number one, and this certainly should be number one, I think, on all of our agendas. Pray for them daily. And if you have so many grandchildren that you can't remember all their names, make a list. I have to use lists for prayer every single day. Lists not for my grandchildren, because I just have 8 of those and I can remember their names, but I have lists of other family members that I might forget if I didn't have them written down, and lots of other lists as well. So Mildred says, number two, give them advice as the occasion calls for it. And we have to be very careful about that, don't we? This is Elizabeth talking now. I just happen to be the kind of person that wants to dish out advice to everybody. And mighty few folks want unsolicited advice. So be very careful and, again, prayerful as you give your grandchildren advice. If they're staying in your home, you have a wonderful opportunity to demonstrate to them what a Christian home looks like and how people behave in a Christian home. Mildred says, number three, encourage them in the use of their talents, in their schoolwork, and in spiritual things. Surely grandparents have the opportunity to encourage their grandchildren. The last thing we need to do is to discourage them. Number four, this may be possible for some of you, transport them in my car when their parents are not able to and when I am available. Number five, I bought both of them a chastity ring after they had expressed their desire to have one. I made sure that they both understood what they were promising by wearing these rings. Also, I solicited and received a promise from both of them that they would continue to wear these rings until they get married, even if their friends make fun of them for wearing them. I'm so glad to hear about those chastity rings. I'm very thankful for the fact that it does appear to me that there is a real sort of a groundswell of desire for sexual purity. I think there's a generation of young people out there that are beginning to realize how deeply they have been confused by the behavior of their parents and perhaps even of their grandparents. There are several generations now since the things that happened in the 1960s when virtually everything that really mattered seemed to be swept off the board. Well, forgive my perorations. I'm still reading Mildred Scott's letter, but I'm glad to know about those chastity rings. Just one more little way of encouraging young people to wait for the right person at the right time, and that has got to be your marriage partner. There is no place in Scripture whatsoever for any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage. And Mildred says, I realize that their wearing of these rings does not guarantee that they will keep these promises, but I firmly believe that it will act as a deterrent when they are tempted to commit any immoral act. I am already seeing answers to my prayers for them. And once again, I'll give you her list of the things that she is doing for her 12 and 14-year-old grandchildren. Number one, pray for them daily. Number two, give them advice as the occasion calls for it. And that might mean helping to correct their table manners, perhaps. Number three, encourage them in the use of their talents in their schoolwork and in spiritual things. Number four, transport them in your car when the parents are not able to, if you're available. And number five, buy them chastity rings. As for encouraging them in spiritual things, may I strongly urge that you give them books which will be helpful. And of course, Christian bookstores are loaded with books. But there are some very good ones out for both young men and young women, for children of every age. May God make us faithful grandparents, realizing our heavy responsibility before God to steer them every way we possibly can toward heaven.
Grandmother Stories, part 4 of a 5-part series, Ideas for Grandmothers. Well, before we go, let's consider those opening lines that Elizabeth Elliot used so many times on her Gateway to Joy broadcasts. What are the Bible references to those?
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. That verse, in fact, is to be found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. And underneath are the everlasting arms. You can find that in Deuteronomy 33, 27. Those of you that listen to me know that I quote these two verses for you every day.
That's Jeremiah 31 and Deuteronomy 33. Well, as our time comes to an end, let me thank you for letting us come into your home. Maybe joined you at the office or as you drove across town, wherever we found you. On behalf of the Elizabeth Elliot Foundation, in cooperation with the Bible Broadcasting Network, let me invite you to check out elizabethelliot.org. More talks, more Gateway to Joy programs, maybe read the devotionals or check out the videos. You can also see videos on YouTube. Check it out sometime. The website, elizabethelliot.org. And if you get a chance, leave a review for us wherever you found this program today. Thanks. Well, until next time, may God remind you daily of those words we've thought about today. That you're loved with what? That's right. You are loved with an everlasting love.
To be found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3.
And underneath.
In Deuteronomy 33, 27.
Are the everlasting arms.